Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, grant us grace to hear your gracious words so full of compassion and abounding in love that we respond with hearts broken in repentance. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Joel. The book of Joel is the book of the prophet Joel, and it opens with a catastrophic locust invasion. So great was the invasion of the locusts that when the locust swarm left, the great locusts ate. And when the great locusts left, the young locusts ate. And what would the young locusts have left, other locusts will eat. A great swarm, so great that a famine has now overcome the land of Judah. In that setting, in that situation, Joel is sent of God to proclaim to the people and to the priests of the land of their need to repent of their wicked ways. The appeal is for them to repent and repent quickly, for unless they do so, enemy armies will come and devour the land, just as the locust had done. People and priests, fast, humble yourselves, seek the Lord's God, the Lord your God's forgiveness. Respond to the Lord's appeal, and the spiritual blessing will come. Renewal of the land will come. Learn now that the day of the Lord is coming, and those dreaded locusts in the day of the Lord will be less than gnats in comparison to the judgment that comes. And that's how the book of Joel unfolds. Joel chapter 2, verse 11 concludes with, "The day of the Lord is great, it is dreadful. Who can endure it?" Who can? Who can endure the judgment that will come on the day of the Lord? Can you? Can I? Can anyone endure that great and dreadful day? Will your possessions make any difference? Will your good deeds, the deeds you've done that we call good, done in our own strength, will they help us endure the day of the Lord? Who can stand before a holy God, the Lord Almighty? The truth is, we, you and I, on our own, can never endure such a moment. So with that said, what does Joel declare next in the scripture as the word from God? Joel chapter 2, verse 12. "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." Even now, the opportunity to turn to the Lord is present. Will you take advantage of the opportunity to turn to the Lord? How do you turn to the Lord? With all your heart, with weeping and fasting and mourning. And Joel continues there in chapter 2, "The word of the Lord, rend your heart, not your garments." In other words, rend the inner man, the inner woman, the inner person, who you are inside, who you truly are, that people don't see, but God knows. Rend that part. Tear the inner self. Be broken by the weight of your sin of wrongdoing. Don't make an outward show of it. Rather, what's inside? Is it broken before the Lord? Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is speaking about the outward show, the things you do for others to see, behavior that is really about self-aggrandizing. You know what I mean, making yourself big. Boy, I should have just struck that word earlier. That does not do your heart. See, I wanted to be fancy with my language. It flopped right now. But, I mean, that does not do. does not do. What other people see, but what's in your heart. It's the Lord looking at your heart. What takes place in your heart? Hypocrite. Hypocrite is the description Jesus gives there. That description was given a couple of times. It means to be two-faced, whose words do not match behavior. Showing yourself as dutifully following the ways of God when the love of God does not reside in your heart. How many times did Jesus say that to the Sadducees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees? You have the outward appearance, but your inward self is far from the Lord. Don't be obvious when you fast. Don't be obvious when you give to the needy. Don't be obvious when praying neither. That is obvious for others to see so that the others honor you. Rather, you do these things with a heart that is focused on the Father. A heart so full of love for God that you store up your treasure in heaven, for there your heart is. Your heart is set on the things of heaven. You see, Jesus is saying the same as the Father is saying through this prophet Joel. It's a matter of the heart, the inner person, who you are. Who you are really at the core before the holy, righteous God. Rend your heart and return to the Lord. And when you do so, what kind of reception do you think you'll receive? Will it be like Dorothy, Tin Man, and Scarecrow and the Cowardly Lion after their long, arduous journey as they face that locked door at the City of Oz? Is that the kind of reception you think you'll receive? No, that's not at all. It's not that way at all. Listen to the next part from Joel chapter 2 of God's word being spoken through the prophet. Joel chapter 2, verse 13. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. You don't see this in your English translation. You don't hear it in the English translation. But if you had the Hebrew before you, and you were Hebrew and understood it, you would recognize something wonderful taking place in this verse. The Hebrew word translated as gracious, the only time it is used is when it's describing an attribute of God. God is gracious, meaning favor, mercy, loving kindness that is readily given, quickly shown. And likewise, the manner of that word gracious, the Hebrew word translated as compassionate, is only used as an attribute of God. God is compassionate. And compassion means sympathetic pity and concern for the suffering or misfortune of others. And even more, that word compassion comes from the Latin compati, which means suffer with. So you don't see it in your English, but it's there in the Hebrew. This is a very specific description of God as gracious, God as compassionate, and in that is the desire to suffer with you. Compassion acts, and it flows from a compassionate person. And with God's compassion, it is freely and tenderly given. We see this. We see this compassion in the Son of God. Matthew chapter 14. Jesus just wants to get away. He wants to rest in a solitary place after the news of Herod's execution of John, Jesus' cousin. Yet when Jesus lands on the shore and he sees the large crowd of people who've come, Jesus has compassion on them. Jesus teaches them. And even more, Jesus feeds them. Matthew chapter 20, two blind men come to Jesus for healing. Jesus asks them what they want. They reply they want their sight. Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. You see compassion even more places. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. A man with leprosy comes to Jesus. And this man with leprosy falls down before Jesus and cries out, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus responds. And listen carefully how Jesus responds. The description. Mark chapter 1, verse 41. Filled with compassion, Jesus reaches out his hand and touched the man. Really let that sink in. The compassion reaches out and touches a leper. I am willing, Jesus said, be clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reaches out and touches the man and heals him. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son. As the father sees his son coming, still a long way off. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And this is even before the son had the opportunity to say, I was wrong, I sinned. Compassion. Over and over and over, all through the scriptures, we hear and see of the compassion of God. And that one so full of compassion, over and over, that one, the Lord God calls us to repent, to rend our hearts, to return to him, is the one Lord God who is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. This is the Lord's compassion. It's calling us to be his. Yet in our own ability, it's not enough. It takes more, much, much more. That more, that much, much more is so beyond our ability. The Lord's gracious compassion moves and provides his own son to be our Redeemer and Savior. The Lord's compassion is so great. The Lord entered into our suffering. The Lord took our place and suffered for us. By taking on the full weight, the full penalty of sin, as the scripture says, he became sin for us. In our place, Jesus died, crucified on the cross. Look at the cross, see the cross. And there you see the Lord's compassion in action for you. With such compassion being shown for you, how now will you respond? How will you respond to such gracious compassion and astounding, unbelievable love that Jesus would suffer and die for you so that you could be the Father's child forever? Compassion. Compassion in action. With such compassion being shown to you, with such graciousness being poured out to you, how will you respond to the Lord's compassion? So I invite you to make good use of this Lenten journey to consider the Lord's compassion for you, his graciousness and mercy shown to you, so that in your deepest inner self, you respond with a heart that rends, repents, and returns to the Lord to be His forever. Amen and amen.